Random thought. How old were you when you had to talk, and what was it?
So, never had the talk. I just kind of figured it out.
You went to the school of Playboy and Penthouse, huh?
Yeah. I just figured it out. I remember when I was a kid, you know, you had cable TV, and you would see these movies sometimes that would show some type of nudity, be like really brief. And then this was also during like the scrambled porn days, you know, where the TV was all scrambled, but every now and then you'd get a glimpse. So, I mean, I just figured it out. I remember in, I want to say it's like fifth grade, where they had the class where they, you know, separate the boys and the girls and talk about kind of like a sex ed, but never did they talk about masturbation and all that stuff.
Right.
And then I never had a talk. You know, my parents never talked to me about that. My brother never talked to me about that. Like I said, I just kind of, as every, I think, young person does, you just kind of figure things out. So never had the talk. I don't know what I would have done if I did have that talk. What about you? Did someone actually sit down and teach you about, you know, how to use the sock and
So interestingly, I never took sex ed in school either, right? And the talk for me went as simple as, and I can't even call it a talk. God bless her heart. So my mom took me to college and dropped me off at UTSA. I remember she handed me a 3-pack of condoms, and that was the talk. She just handed me a 3-pack. I went, that's it for the year? She's like, what, you're going to use them all? I'm like...
That's all you need. Make it last. Make it stretch. I don't know. I never had a talk. It was more, don't get anybody pregnant, you know, something like that. But other than that, there wasn't the type of education that this school was trying to do for those kids. But I did have an aunt that, my Aunt Cheryl, who I was named after, I was going to the bathroom. She was like, shaking more than once, you're playing with it.
I've heard that before.
And so I heard that as a kid, and that was funny.
What? Because I think it was shake it more than twice or shake it more than three times and play with it. So it was always like, one, two. All right.
It's like the owl with the Tootsie Pop commercial. One, two.
I don't remember how old I was at this point, but somebody, I was on the phone with a friend. She said something about oral sex, and I'm like, what's oral sex? Is that when you talk about it? to be so young and naive again. And
yeah. I think I was on the freshman football team. And we were, I think at practice, this group of us were on the sidelines talking, and one of the guys started talking about that. And I was just like, you do what? That's disgusting. You know, you're gross. That's, you know, get away from me. Total different terror nowadays.
But, you don't do what?
But yeah.
Get away from me. You're gross. Completely different. What a 180.
Yeah, totally different.
There was a story that was covered on our show this week, The Morning Hustle, about this private school in New York where the parents are mad because their kids were being taught about sex ed and masturbation.
How come my penis gets big sometimes and points up in the air?
That's called an erection.
Sometimes I touch my penis because it feels good.
Sometimes when I'm in my bath or when mom puts me to bed, I like to touch my vulva too.
You have a clitoris there, Kayla, that probably feels good to touch the same way Keith's penis feels good when he touches it. But have you ever noticed that older kids and grown-ups don't touch their private parts in public?
They don't?
I don't really have a problem with it. Maybe they should have asked the parents' permission first. And like I said, hey, here's what we're going to talk about this week. Are you okay with it? If not, then we'll separate. Because I think when they did that, when I was in fifth grade, when they did the sex education class, parents could opt out their child from being in it. Mm-hmm. And I remember there were a couple kids that, you know, got pulled away while they were giving us the information. So I think they should have did that. But, you know, I think kids can see so much stuff now with, you know, the access of phones and the internet that we didn't have access to. You know, remember going to the gas station and you'd see the magazine section? Yeah. And as you look for comic books, and they had like the penthouse, but it like was covered. And you're trying to like peek and try to see.
So you're going to Blockbuster, and there's another room back there, and you're like,
yeah, yeah. So I think it's important, you know, to start teaching them early. But I think they still should have asked the parents' permission. But you know, I wish I would have learned some things earlier in life. Instead of just figuring out.
I mean, one of the things that some of the parents were upset about was because they're like, you know, well, don't let anyone hug you without your permission, which you could understand why they're teaching that because, you know, again, this conversation. And I get it. Parents want to be the ones to say the things, and you do want to be the ones to tell your kids about it. Some people have a hard time. And as you know, as you can tell from both of us and us being brought up by our moms, it's like one of those things where that was a tough conversation to have. So,
yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, how do you, as a parent, you know, do that? You sit down like, hey, son, I want to talk to you about a couple things. Your body's going through some changes. So, like, do you tell them, like, what to do? Like, okay, here's the lotion, here's the sock, here's what you do.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yachty Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having just some crazy conversations?
Like not getting the talk? We are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment.
Indeed. What's been going on in the life of Terrell, man?
Man, in the life of Terrell, it's been a lot of work, but it's paid off. I got promoted last week to a senior director role. So,
congratulations.
You know, hyped up for that, mm-hmm. Which it's funny, like when you work hard, and it's kind of nice when you work, but you're not working towards a promotion. It just kind of happens.
Right.
So that felt really good. And then you have that moment where you're like, oh, wow, this is great. You feel excited. Then you're like, shit, I got a lot more work to do.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown, and all those sayings, you know, with more responsibility becomes more work, or whatever the hell the saying is. I mean,
great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, all that shit.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, all that shit.
Yeah.
Basically what it means is your days get longer, there's more work, and all the praises and all the backlash is a little stronger now, so, you know.
Yeah, it is, but it's exciting. I'm excited about the role. I'm excited about my team and the team I'm building. I have some really, I'm lucky to work with some really talented, great people that inspire me every day. So that's what's been happening, though. It's all those times you and I would talk and I call you at 9 o'clock at night. Yeah, I just logged off. Mm-hmm. You know, just thinking all those late nights pays off.
Looking at this the other day on social, and Monique kind of caused a stir because she had something to say about women wearing bonnets out in public.
I was in the airport in Atlanta, and as we began to walk through the airport, I saw so many, actually too many to count and too many for me to tap, but I saw so many of our young sisters in head bonnets, scarves, slippers, pajamas, blankets wrapped around them, and this is how they're showing up to the airport. And I've been seeing it, not just at the airport, I've been seeing it at the store, at the mall. I've been seeing sisters showing up with these bonnets and headscarves and their slippers. And the question that I'm having to you, my sweet babies, when did we lose pride in representing ourselves?
I think Monique needs to shut up and stay in her lane. You know, it reminded me of that speech Bill Cosby gave and telling everybody to pull their pants up and all that stuff. You know, stop judging other folks. Who cares? I see that stuff in the airport. I wouldn't do it. But that doesn't mean they can't. Like, mind your own business. Who cares? It's not hurting anything. You know, it's not a negative on, you know, Black America to see people with bonnets or blankets or walk around in flip-flops. Who cares? Live your own life. Why are you worried about other people's? I think that's the biggest problem we have as a society, is we're always worried about what other people are doing. And if something they're doing doesn't align with our values, then they're wrong. And it's like, no, that's just what they want to do. They want to, I laugh at them. I see the people walking through the pillows. Like, I think that's funny when people bring their pillow from home and they walk to the airport with that. I'm just like, is that serious?
Terrell, so let me ask you, why is it that your people come through the airport wearing, you know, like plastic bags on their heads, and, you know, they're in their pajamas while they're traveling? Can you explain why black people do that?
Yeah, because they're comfortable. That's why they're doing it. If you go to travel, be comfortable. They're not selling booze on the planes anymore. Might as well be comfortable.
Yo, I get the flip-flops all the time. I understand why. I don't do it, but I understand why. Because it's a bother if you got to take all your shit off when you're going through TSA, right? It really is. You got to take shoes off. I always kick myself when I'm going through TSA because I have to take the belt off. And I'm like, and it's not the fact that I'm worried about my pants falling. It's about standing there trying to put the damn belt back on when it's all said and done. I'm like, I forgot. I need to wear my track pants, you know, but, you know, or wear my sweatpants or something that just doesn't have a belt. So you don't have to worry about taking a belt off to go through, right? So.
Or get TSA pre-check.
You yeah, that's happening tomorrow, actually. So I'm traveling too much now to go through this shit.
Yeah, step up your travel game. Yeah, get that TSA pre-check.
Look, I thought I was doing something. I had clear, and I'm like, all right, now I'm going to just go have clear pre-check, and at least until clear runs out, and I'm going to just cancel that, because that's an annual fee, while pre-check is, what, every 5 years? So, yeah. But see, here's the issue, because I was waiting on global reentry. Because remember, like, when we went to St. Kitts, and I'm like, all right, if we're planning on taking these trips more often, and I want pre-check, but I want global reentry, because you know, like I know, that when you come back in the country, that's a long-ass line you got to stand in and wait. So global reentry or global entry allows you to just skip. It's the pre-check for international flights. I want that. And that's why I was like, if I'm going to pay for pre-check, I might as well do it where I can do it on all flights.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. But I think for Monique to be as judgy as she was, you know, to make that video, it's like, who cares? Just mind your own business. It's not hurting anything. Just because you don't agree with how someone looks when they're out and about. You know, you got some people who don't like people who are overweight and, you know, used to give Monique a hard time back in the day.
I'm not faulting her for saying that about people, because sometimes people need to hear it. And we had this discussion in the studio and one of the co-hosts was saying, like, hey, I used to wear my stuff like that, you know, all the time. You know, when I was rocking a perm, I used to do that. And then an older woman stopped me one day and said, hey, don't you walk in that meeting with that bonnet on your head. Don't let them white folks see you like that. Don't you go into that meeting like that. Well,
and I think there's a difference of a work meeting compared to
now, there's
just
a difference.
Traveling.
Yeah.
Just travel to the airport.
Exactly.
Who cares? Yeah, I would totally not let somebody come into anyone on my team. I'd be like, hey, you need to reevaluate what you have on.
But see,
and
that's,
then come back.
That's the interesting thing, because that's part of what those phone calls that came in. Because we discussed this on the air, and one of the listeners, who's a recruiter. And she's like, you'll be surprised at how many people, we're not a recruiter, I'm just a hiring manager, and said that, you know, how many people show up for interviews dressed like that. I think the best thing that came out of this Monique conversation, though, because one of the things she was talking about was not only just traveling, but also, you know, going into Walmart, going into the stores, and you've been in the stores and you've seen people dressed like they just roll out the bed and like, I need some groceries, and just roll out the bed and went to the store. But I think the best thing, and it's God gave us a gift when he gave us Black Twitter. When he gave black people the power to do graphics and create memes. We got a couple of these that are just like, you know, the one that says, this is how Monique wants to see you dress going on that 6 a.m. flight to Punta Cana. Or the other one that's showing, you know, the little house on the prairie, like, they wore bonnets all day. Nobody said shit.
Yeah.
I think I saw one when they sent somebody, a kid in a class, a note saying, your mama wears a bonnet outside every time, and it's the Berenstain Bears. And you just gotta go, this is shit you wouldn't think of, and thank God for the internet, thank God for Black Twitter, because they keep us laughing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, good old Monique. But at least, you know, she's doing what she wanted, keeping attention, trying to keep her name up. So it worked.
Speaking of keeping names up, and who apparently didn't, well, name is still up there somewhere, but, you know, your boy, LeBronius Jameson. As we jump into the, for the love of sports, NBA playoffs, and you made a very bold prediction last week.
I did.
And I told you there's a possibility it could go the other way. And you're like, yeah, nah. But if it did, we could, you know, whatever. And like, whatever, you know, we're fine. We're the Lakers. We're going all the way. We're going to take home the championship. Yeah.
Yeah, we lost. Yeah, we lost. You know, we didn't have a good, healthy team. Anthony Davis getting hurt really put a damper on our dreams, but we lost. You know, Phoenix Suns, the damn Phoenix Suns did it, I guess. You know, who would have thought? But
I'll tell you who would have thought. This guy. I told you last year in the playoffs, or whatever the hell the last playoffs were. When were they? Last year?
December?
Yeah.
November,
yeah.
December?
I said then, Anthony Davis is the reason the Lakers will win, not LeBron James, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't LeBron that won them the championship last time. It was Anthony Davis. Who wasn't playing this time? Street Clothes.
Yeah.
As a Isn't that his new nickname, Street Clothes?
They had a meme of him in, you familiar with that movie, Mr. Glass?
Yeah.
So they had a meme of Anthony Davis looking like Mr. Glass in a wheelchair.
Yeah. You remember when they had, when they were giving Derrick Rose hell? And they had, you know, they yeah. you know, you have Jordan's statue outside of the United Center. Then they had Derrick Rose sitting on the bench. Yeah. Again, you got to love Black Twitter, man.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, LeBron, you know, needs help. Needed more help. He took himself out of the last game. So I'm like, which, you know, he's probably tired and all that stuff. He's like, done. That's fine. But, you know, this is why I miss Kobe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Kobe wouldn't have come
because
out.
Because put Kobe in that situation. Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, game's on me.
Let's do it.
And he's going to take every shot.
Yeah.
You know, that's just not who LeBron is.
Even if all his players were there, Kobe would have taken every shot.
Yeah,
that's one of the things he did. Like, oh wait, oh my bad, y'all are here. Oh here, I thought y'all were just for defense.
Oh, you're open. Yeah, he's like, what is this? 1-on-5 challenge accepted.
You know, though, LeBron. Here's the greatest thing. I love. There are a couple things that LeBron has done over the past that I love, and I love using this when somebody says something. I'm like, you know what, the hell with it, and I walk out. And that's the one where he picks up his man purse from the podium and walks out. That shit is forever the most classic meme. I love it. But there's another one that he does that a great response to a question when they were asking, hey, so you're going to get your, you're going to rehab your knee and get ready for the Olympics? And he says, nah.
Nah, I think I'm going to play for the Toon Squad this summer instead of the Olympics. I think that's what that's my focus on trying to beat the Monstars or the Goon Squad. We call them now. So didn't have much success versus Sun. So now I am gearing my attention to the Goon Squad here in July, in mid-July. So I'm gonna let the ankle rest for about a month, and then I'm gonna gear up with Lola, Taz, Granny, Bugs, you know, and the rest of the crew. So hopefully see y'all at the match.
Well, I would rather see him in the next round of the playoffs, but that didn't happen. I'm a Laker fan first. And LeBron is on my team. I used to not like LeBron when he played for the Heat and Cleveland. I like to see him lose. Not because I didn't like him. It was just like he's a great competitor. But I was always rooting for the other team. So then once he joins the Lakers, I'm like, all right, well, you know, we can do this. The fact that he's going to sit out, I think it's good. You know, I don't think he needs to play in the Olympics. You know, sometimes he's got to rest. As he's getting older, he just can't keep doing that and give some other players the opportunity to do the Olympic thing. So I'd rather him rest and come back 100% healthy and rehabbed for the next season instead of going to the Olympics. I mean, like, for what?
Exactly.
He's done it.
I don't get sending the players who have already played on the team and won a gold medal, sending them back and back and back again. You know, you've got enough players on the NBA to go out and do it, right? Remember when it used to be the college guys, it was always a new team every 4 years. Well, now it's the pros, but you've got young guys who've never had the chance to go, so let them go. I mean, it gives them a chance to really play on another level and realize that, yeah, there is talent everywhere else, and it gives them some exposure, man. I think I'm glad that he's not going to do it. Just like, you know, again, I like the fact that he made a big joke about it. Because again, I'm not a Lakers fan. I'm not a LeBron fan. But, you know, Jordan wouldn't have made those jokes. He would have won the game.
Well, true. But I think it's a way for the Olympics to get a lot more fans to watch, because I never watched Olympic basketball until the Dream Team. And that was phenomenal, you know, to watch. Like, I never paid attention to it until the Dream Team happened. I was watching every single one of those games because it was like an all-star game every day. And I haven't watched many of them since. But I think they're trying to get some of these big-name stars in there to get people to really watch it. But there's plenty of talent that they can pick up out of the NBA and do their thing in the Olympics. So LeBron, rest your knees, rest your body. And I'm looking forward to watching Space Jam. You know, make fun of me if you want. I can't wait to watch
that. This. I would rather see him still in the playoffs than acting in Space Jam. I mean, of course, he's not the greatest actor. So hopefully, you know, his with this extra time he has this summer, he'll take some more acting classes. But yeah, I'm not excited about Space Jam. I wasn't excited about the first one with Jordan in it, so I'm not excited about this one either. I
just love the song.
Oh, boy.
Everybody get up, it's time to jam. Get ready for the Space Jam. It's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam.
You still watching the playoffs? And anybody? Who's left? Is there anything? I mean, of course, I was getting my updates from you, and now that your team's out, are you out of the playoffs too?
Nope. I'm still going to keep an eye on it. I think you have Milwaukee Bucks and Brooklyn Nets. Should be a good series. Brooklyn won the first game yesterday, but Harden got hurt like in the first minute. So have to see what happens there. You have today, or you have the Clippers and Mavericks. They're going into game 7. So that should be good. Luka is just amazing. But now we got to see if Kawhi can help take the Clippers, you know, to the second round of the playoffs. So I'm watching that.
So wait, I want to make sure, as you say this, because of course we're recording this on Sunday. Everybody's hearing this on Monday. And that means the game has already happened. There's already been a winner. There's been a loser. We went through this last week. And your team hasn't won since. So Mavericks fans are hoping you pick the Clippers. Clippers fans are hoping you pick the Mavericks. Who are you going for? Who do you predict is going to win this game? You're thinking so hard about this one now. Like, who the fuck do I want to piss off the most?
Yep. I predict that the Mavericks will win this game.
I'm sorry.
Luka's going to go off for over 40 points, and Dallas is going to win this game.
So when this airs on Monday, and Dallas is out, and Killer Kawhi is moving on to the next round, Dallas fans, you got to tell the thing. You know, if this was the Cowboys, I'd have been like, yes, I agree with you. Please pick them. Because you know me. Fuck the Cowboys.
Yeah. Nope. I'm predicting the Mavericks. Mavericks fans, you're welcome.
Oh, my God. Hilarious. So, look, as we switch to politics as usual, you sent me something that was pretty interesting about a valedictorian. What happened here?
Yes. So, valedictorian, the student, Paxton Smith. She's a valedictorian of our high school in Dallas, Lake Highlands High School. So, when you're valedictorian, you have to write your speech and then you got to give it to the administration for them to approve it before you can get up there. She did that, but then changed it the day of and didn't tell anybody she was going to do it. And what she started talking about was the new abortion bill that's got passed in Texas. Texas has like the toughest one. And pretty much it makes it illegal to have an abortion after 6 weeks even in the case of rape and incest. And so for women, this is a huge blow, right, to to women's rights and women's reproductive rights, in my opinion, because not often does a woman know that she's pregnant at 6 weeks. You know, you might not know. And so I don't agree with this bill, and it goes into effect in September. So she took that time to use that platform to really address her frustration and anger with it, and got a lot of support from, you know, different politicians, different celebs, and it went viral. And of course, there's people who think she's wrong and all that. But I think kudos to Paxton Smith for using her platform to speak up. I hope a lot more women speak up regarding this issue. It just blows my mind how we like to make laws that deal with women's reproductive rights, but nothing about men. You know, we don't make it illegal for men to not use condoms or whatever. And it's, you know, takes a man can make a baby all day, every day. Right.
Where once
a
woman can only get pregnant once. Yeah. Interesting you said that, because that's I think that was a comment that was on our Facebook page very early on, like in one of our early episodes, one or two, one of our first episodes. And there was a lady who made a comment about it, saying that we should talk about vasectomies and how men should have them, because that's reversible as opposed to women. You know, it's always on the woman for the reproductive. And it's like, it's the man. The man can impregnate a different woman every day for 9 months, while a woman can only get pregnant once. I mean, that's a very active man. I'm just going to say that, first of all. If you can.
Very, but still. but that's it's 100% true that you have these men making these laws for women.
You didn't read the fine print, though.
The crazy thing also.
The fine print is, unless it happens to be a senator, a state representative, a very wealthy person, and the side chick gets pregnant, then it's okay.
then you're taking a road trip. You're gonna go over to
go up to Louisiana or
Arizona.
Oh, we'll send you to one of these liberal states like California.
But it's just, but it's just a ridiculous you know, world that we live in, that we have these men making these laws against women, and that there are women who also support that bill. That bill wasn't only voted on by men. There are women in the room who agree with it. And I just find that to be sad. And I do agree with that person left that comment. You know, if when you turn 16, you get a vasectomy. You know,
16?
If Terrell was president, every boy.
Jesus Christ, what are you trying to do?
Yeah.
No.
Would you go earlier? Because, I mean, at what age do you have the talk?
Hey, snip it at birth.
But I think it's 16. Yeah, at 16.
No.
Every male gets a vasectomy. And then when you're more responsible and you're ready to have a baby, then you get it reversed.
What's wrong with you? What the hell is wrong with you?
Well, but you know, there'd be a whole lot less bad pregnancies happening, right? If the women got to deal with it, then why can't the men? I'd be fine with that. I mean, I'm not 16.
Have you been snipped recently?
You know, but also, I've not had a baby. No, but I've not had a baby either.
We'll wait 9 months.
So, this doesn't impact me. But for the... I've had the same number for a long time. I haven't gotten that phone call. So, I think I'm good. But if we're going to put these laws in place that impact women and their reproductive rights, you know, look how shocked you were. And I was like, 16, every male. You're like, what? What? That's what happens. It's like men should have to have some type of law on their reproductive rights if women have to.
It was making it so that, you know, that it was contraception was it contraception wasn't, female contraception wasn't covered under medical. And it's, you know, again, you've got men, old white men making decisions for women. This is not the 1800s, 1700s, 1600s, 1500s. Women have rights, and we know they can think for themselves. They can make decisions, probably sometimes, and in most cases, a lot better decisions than we can. So therefore, why are men mm-hmm. making these decisions for women? And at the same time, and don't get me wrong, just like in if you break down every group of people in this world, there are going to be some people that make bad decisions. So there are some women that make bad decisions. Doesn't mean you punish all women. And in that case, so keep this in mind. Same thing we're going to say. There are some black people that make bad decisions. Doesn't mean you hold it against all black people. And I just want to make sure I point that out. Because we tend to group everybody a lot of the times. And we can't do that for any group of people by just grouping everybody based on one or two bad. Same thing with cops. There's some bad cops. Doesn't mean every cop is bad, unless you're just not talking about it.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. But I just think it's sad that this is where we are. I'm hoping something will happen that will either change the bill, but the fact that it got approved and goes into effect in September, I think it's sad.
Kudos to Paxton for that. For changing the speech and going along with the speech that she wanted to give. There was an Army veteran, military veteran, what was his name? Lieutenant Colonel Kempter, retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Bernard Kempter, who was giving a speech on Veterans Day, on Memorial Day, at a Memorial Day ceremony. And so what happened was he had given them the speech ahead of time. They said, okay, please take this out, this out, this out. Well, when he is given a speech, he decides to keep it in. And then something goes wrong, and he's like, oh, what's wrong with the mic? And as he goes, he says, oh, well, that's why we brought you guys closer, so you can still hear. And he keeps going. And what he's talking about is the contribution of black soldiers and their contribution to the actual observance of Memorial Day. And that's what they wanted him to take out of the speech. And when he didn't, the organizers cut his mic. Really? Yep. And he's there, and I don't know that. So he says he thought, oh, I just thought maybe they we just had a technical difficulty. I think he knew that they cut his mic, and that's why he kept going. And he was just like, out of hell with it. Y'all are close enough to hear me. Let's go.
Yeah.
He knew they could. Y'all gonna hear me talk about these black folk now. And I just want to point out, Lieutenant Colonel Kempter is white. He's not black. So, but he was. They did not like what he had to say, and they cut him off.
Yeah, it's sad, right? But that's what happens, you know. And I'm glad that he kept saying it. And there's all these different type of stories, regardless of whether it's you know. African Americans, Hispanics, Asians, there's all these different type of stories of people and groups that contributed to everything that makes America, America. But the sad thing is that we try to not tell the stories sometimes.
The things that you don't really hear about, and I remember, I think I was in an AP history class when I did this, when I came up here, and that's when I learned about the Japanese internment camps, right, during World War II. And horrible. But, you know, one of the things we don't really hear about is how there were reparations for those families that were affected and Japanese Americans that were affected. But when you talk about reparations for black people, and it's anything that comes to recognition of black people that seems to take this negative tone in this goddamn country over and over again. I don't know what it is about the color black and the people who are brown skinned that this country just seems to hate so goddamn much. And you want to know why it's always got to be about race? It's because of that. It's the fact is, the minute you bring it up, it becomes an issue. And here it is. This retired Army Lieutenant Colonel is just giving his speech on the importance of Memorial Day, how it came about. And because you don't want that mention, I'm glad he did, like Paxton did, stood up there and spoke and said it. Why? Because one, we wouldn't be talking about it if he decided to cave and do it. He fought for your right to have this event, which also gave him his right to speak and say what he wanted in his speech.
So, right.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't get it, and I think that's why we'll always have race issues in this country, because something about once you say black, people hate to hear that.
Well, I think it also goes to And I know this probably isn't the order and what we thought we were going to talk about, but it really hits that critical race theory that we were looking into. So the concept of it is really about teaching people about different ways that people are marginalized, you know, whether it be gender, sexual orientation, race, class, and seeing how those things impacted where these people end up sometimes in life. And you had Trump, and he was in office. He kind of banned that teaching. So they were, you know, you'd have different organizations, different groups that would like to teach this to businesses, race sensitivity and all these different things. They're trying to get away from all that. And I think that's one of the challenges. It's there's a lot of great things about America, but there's some ugly things that happen to get us to where we are. And it's okay to talk about it. And you should talk about it. And people should be educated, you know, on all those aspects. Just like the Japanese internment camps, you think about, you know, Black Wall Street and Tulsa, Juneteenth, all these different things. It's okay to talk about those things. And it doesn't make you bad. It doesn't make you a racist person. It's just, hey, there's some stuff that happened.
Let me tell you something here, buddy. if you don't like this country, you can get the hell out, okay? There's absolutely nothing wrong with this country. Our greatest president ever, Donald Trump, did everything on his own. He got $1 million from his daddy to start his business. And yes, when his casinos were in trouble, his daddy bailed him out and bailed him out and bailed him out, and they still fell. But it's okay, because he did it all on his own. He got absolutely no help anywhere.
Yeah, you really went on a tangent there, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I really did. Yeah. I really did. Because you know, I think the part of it for me is, just get up and do it on your own. And acting as if this isn't there aren't things in place to stop others. You've seen this so much time on the news program. 60 Minutes has done it enough times. NBC News has done it. ABC News has done all these different stories where you've shown a black person goes into to a car dealership and they automatically get identical credit scores, right? Because they set it up this way, and they get this high rate. Then somebody white goes in and they get this low rate. To act as if these barriers do not exist because they don't affect you directly is ridiculous. And I've watched this happen even in when I was in Cleveland. Just the conversation that was had, and I remember one of my salespeople was like, "I never knew that," because she knows the woman that was on the news was a. She knows she's got a lot of money, and she's upstanding in the community. And was like, I never knew that she would have had an issue with this. And it's like, yes, because it doesn't affect you directly.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's just so many different stories out there that I think everyone should be able to hear. You know, there's a lot of great things that came from, women, and regardless of race, there's certain things, great things that women have done in history to get us where we are. But we can't have this mindset that the past is the past and let's just move forward, because it's not true. And those things do impact people, how people grow up, in their economic situation, how they grew up, their class, all those things are factors in where they're going. Now, it doesn't mean that just because you grow up poor, you cannot be successful in life. There's too many people who've proved that theory wrong, but it doesn't hurt to talk about that, to talk about why a certain part of a geographic area in a city is highly populated by X, and how did it get to that point? There's reasons that we get to these places sometimes, and it doesn't hurt to talk about it. In Austin, I think right around after the Depression, Austin was looking at how to expand their city, and they had this firm, I believe, out of the Dallas area that kind of advised them how they should do it. So I-35 used to be called East Avenue, and what they told them to do is on the right side of East Avenue, this is where you want to put all of your industry, your plants, and all that type of stuff. And this is also where a majority of your minority is going to live, because back then, that's probably where they worked. And then on the other side is where you're going to put a lot of your, you know, good families and good places to have schools and all that
stuff. Becky with the good hair, yes.
And so as you know, some years ago when I started, you know, if you're in Austin, you go to the west side, it was a lot nicer and compared to the east side, you know, but it was made that way. And it wasn't quite made that way to be racist. It was just, let's put these people here. Now, the problem is you had kids growing up next to chemical plants. So what impact does that have physically to human beings, right? Regardless of race, that's probably not the best place to raise a family. But that's how the city got set up.
I'm going
to so to talk about that doesn't make it bad, you know. But well, I think we can't just look at life and say, well, that was then, but we're not like that now. We're moving forward. Yeah, let's talk about what we're doing going forward, but also still educate ourselves and really look at what has happened mm-hmm. in the past. And I've never expected anybody to, and I don't think anybody does when we're having these conversations. We're not expecting like some white person to give me a hug and be like, hey, I'm sorry to hear about what happened, you know, back in the day, or, you know, slavery or whatever. It's just, it's educational. And it's okay to talk about it and say that, hey, we did some jacked up things as a country to our own citizens at some point. But well, we're just trying to get better.
It's not just a race war. It's also a class war. So, I mean, and there's part of that. And the minute that across races, classes unite, that's when you see the assassinations happen. It happened with MLK. It happened with Fred Hampton. Once they unite the different races on a class issue, then that becomes an issue because those in power don't want to see the same reason why we've got all these voting restrictions. But you know what? We'll save that for another day so we don't just go all CNN and up in here.
but we got to talk about my man Ted Cruz.
Yeah, you're the savior of Texas.
Yeah. So Ted Cruz this week made a tweet about Kamala Harris, you know, on the border crisis. And pretty much saying she's like running away, you know, from her leadership of the border crisis. And it was funny because, of course, Twitter went crazy. And it's like, I'm sorry, is Cancun Cruz trying to drag someone for running away while being a leader?
Cancun Cruz.
Cancun Cruz is what they called him.
What they called him and, last week?
Oh, it was the Russian something. A Kremlin Cruz.
Kremlin Cruz and Cancun Cruz. I love this.
And Cancun Cruz. So Cancun Cruz was, hilarious. Trying to talk trash again. And every week I'm going to talk about voting him out, partly because of just who he is. But I just stand by the issue of him going to Cancun during the snowpocalypse. And I have no problem with you going to Cancun. But the lie that you've been telling about the whole thing and the lack of ownership, the lack of accountability of the fact that you lied. I just rather you say, hey, guys, it was cold and I want to take my family to Cancun. I have the funds to do it and then go do it. And then to come back just because of the backlash. And then after you come back into the country, you don't quarantine yourself. And then you're going passing out, you know, waters, trying to get photo ops. Just a terrible human being, in my opinion. So we have to vote him out. Texas has enough drama with our abortion bills and everything else. We have enough drama going on. We got to get rid of Ted.
Okay. So it is Texas, right? And I keep telling you, Texas is going to Texas. Texas is going to Florida. Texas will flexus and vote Ted Cruz back in. And to prove my point, you just talked about the critical race theory. You know, you have somebody down there who was writing the bill and said that MLK would approve of it, you know, and then you, of course, got this abortion rights bill. Yeah, Texas is definitely voting Ted Cruz back in. They love this kind of bullshit. Texas is like, here's our guy.
You know, there's some amazing things about the great state of Texas, but shit, at least we're not Florida. So there's that.
Goddamn close, though. So look, I saw this one. As we get into this bullshit, these two kids who stole their parents' car to head to California. They were in Utah, heading to California because they wanted to go take a swim in the ocean. They were 9 and 4.
Swim with the dolphins.
They were 9 and 4. Ran head on into an 18-wheeler. And cops were surprised when they saw, oh my God, she was driving? It's like, what do you do? Your child.
I have no idea.
You're 9 year old.
I have no idea. So first of all, I'm glad that nobody got mm-hmm. hurt because that could have been just a terrible, terrible situation. And, you know, the parents were asleep. The 9 and 4 year old decided they want to go to the beach. They take the keys. Now, the keys were, according to the parents, the keys were not just sitting out. There's normally at a place that children couldn't reach, but they were able to get the keys, to be able to get out the house, got in the car, sat in the car for about an hour, and then decided to start making the drive. Unfortunately, they were going the wrong direction. They were going nowhere near California. Going the other way. But of course, how would you expect a 9 and 4 year old to know that?
Use so Waze. Come on, driving. That's what all the other 9 year olds do.
Yeah. So the car is kind of swerving. It's kind of hitting. It tapped a truck, and somebody luckily was following because they thought probably this person's just intoxicated. They're calling the police. Well, then they wound up crossing over the median, going into oncoming traffic, and hit that 18-wheeler head on. And when you look at the damage that happened to that car, you're surprised that everybody walked away. The airbag deployed for the 9-year-old in the car. It did not deploy in the passenger seat for the 4-year-old. But luckily, they weren't hurt. But could you imagine? The parents didn't even know any of this happened until the police called them at 5 a.m. to say, hey, we got your kids. They were in a car accident. You mean that's, I couldn't imagine the fear that these parents had to have gone through. But on the flip side, even though nobody got hurt, it's kind of impressive. A 9-year-old did that. I mean, that girl's going to be, she's going to be a leader. She's going to be doing some things.
Yeah, I have nothing. I have nothing.
Yeah, because...
Jesus. I mean, that's a 9-year-old and that has stolen the car. So imagine what happens when she's now like 14, 15, 16. You're grounded. Yeah.
Shit.
No, you're grounded.
Yeah. But I mean, it is so impressive that they did that. And like, she told the officers that, you know, me and my sister, we want to go to the beach and swim with the dolphins. So we thought we'd go to California for a few days. Like, for a few days. Like, I'm wondering, like, did she have money? Did she have a credit card? Like, what was her plan? And of course, you're 9. You probably don't have one. But that girl's going to be a badass when she grows up.
You know.
And I don't mean that, like, negative. She's going to be somebody doing something big, I'm sure.
It reminds me of this other video I saw with this little kid walking out the back door. He's caught by the camera, right? And he goes, Dad, I'm running away. Blam. He goes, where you going? I'm leaving because you said you don't love me anymore. I never said that. I told you to turn off your PlayStation and go to bed. Same thing. I'm like, what do you say at that point? I'm just like, you'll get your little ass back up in here. Same thing.
All you do is just laugh. I mean, that's all you can do on that one. That's funny.
Oh, Jesus. Something else I saw, this is interesting. I think this also happened in Utah. It's a message that was mowed into a lawn by the neighbor. It was spotted on Google Maps. And apparently, they mowed the word bitch with an arrow pointing to the house. How mad does your neighbor have to make you?
Yeah, that's a whole new level of petty. Yeah, that is a trip. I saw that and I was just thinking to myself, very creative, you know, because it looked really great the way he did it. But I want to know what happened.
Exactly.
What caused that? Yeah, like what took it to that level that you were like, I'm going to get in my tractor. I'll be right back.
And you're right. It was actually done very well. And
yeah,
and the arrows.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I'm sure the arrow's pretty easy because you didn't just drive towards the house. All right, come back. So you got to really plan this out. Because this is like Mark. You know what? He could have been the band director. He could have been the marching band director. He knows how to create words. You know, in formation to make.
Could be. Yeah, it could be. But I just thought it was impressive. I just want to know like what happened, and I want to know like is it real. Because it's not just because it's on the internet doesn't mean that that's true, but is it real? Because that B looked like it was cursive.
No,
it looks like it was done really well.
Look, he might have had a John Deere. The turn radius is pretty good in the John Deere here.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's what it was, but that just looked too good. It looked too good of a drawing to say that that's real. But yeah, I'm gonna go on a limb and say I think it's fake.
And I'm not doubting it, just because there's so many different things that you see on the internet that you just got to go like, all right, is it really true? Like, there's a woman who had a TikTok, she could go viral because she's there putting on her makeup and she's telling the story of how Kanye West came into the strip club one day. She's a bartender in the strip club and he just sat down. He had water on the rocks and, you know, he sat there and spoke to her for like 3-4 hours and then he just gave her a $15,000 tip. I'm like, why would he sit in the strip club for 4 hours talking to you? And were you not serving anybody else? Drinking nothing but water,
yeah,
to tell you about his beliefs and what he believed in, and all of his crazy theories, and then just give you $15,000 because you're a great listener.
Yeah. For water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't buy that whatsoever.
So we'll put this this bitch neighbor and this $15,000 water tip in the same category. We'll call it bullshit.
Bullshit.
What you sipping on today, man?
Well, you know, we keep recording early, so I'm still on the water intake. I need more coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm gonna hold off, and after we get done, take me a little disco nap.
Yeah, word. See, I took one before we recorded because I went out, knocked out 18 holes this morning. It was a par three, but I knocked it out in less than an hour and a half. So, I got a nice little sweat in, you know. Back on my coffee, you know, home brewed. You know, I'm not paying Starbucks that $14 a cup anymore.
Oh, so what are you doing? Is that Folgers?
No.
Maxwell House?
It's actually Starbucks. It's just... homebrew.
Okay, home. You're not going to give them the... You're still giving them your money. I got it.
Yes, but just not as much, goddammit. I can brew it myself, but it's a more cost-effective, okay? Leave me and my mini revolt alone, okay? My mini protest alone.
Forget Starbucks and their expensive coffees, but I'll take a pound. I'll take a pound of it. Do it myself.
Yeah, I'll take a pound of the of the ground.
I bet the margin they make on the pound of coffee they sell is still huge.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, but I'm not counting their pockets. I'm counting mine, okay? That's why even when I go and sometimes I get the whole beans because I've got a grinder, and I use that grinder and do that myself. Yeah, because I get enjoyment out of doing that. You know, it's just a little thing. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about it on the show.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers, brother.